Romans 13, verse 8, let no debt remain outstanding, except to continue the debt to love one another. For he who loves his fellow man has fulfilled the law. And it goes on in verse 11. Do this understanding the present time. The hour has come for you to wake up from your slumber, because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. The night is nearly over. The day is almost here. So let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us behave decently as in the daytime, not in orgies and drunkenness, sexual immorality and debauchery, not in dissension and jealousy. Rather, clothe yourself with the Lord Jesus Christ, and do not think about how to gratify the desires of the sinful nature. Clothe yourself with the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to read a couple of other verses from Colossians, again written by the Apostle Paul, on this very theme. He says, now you've taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. Therefore, verse 12, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Are you wearing your Sunday best? Do you have special clothes that you wear? My wife's not here at the moment. She's just gone out, so I can say this now, though it's being recorded. My wife has a summer and winter wardrobe. Ladies, do you have that? You do? Oh, that's okay. That's all right then. Although at a time like this, during the year, some days it's hard to know which wardrobe to turn to. Is it summer or is it winter? Now, for some of you who are very fashion conscious, and that looks like most of you looking at you this morning, to wear something with the wrong accessories is a disaster. Whereas for some of us, just to wear matching socks is a success. I'm reminded of the story of a Methodist church that tried to get a man to attend their services. And they asked him, why don't you come? And he said, well, he finally admitted, it's because, well, I really don't have the proper clothes to wear to come to your church. So a member of the congregation took him to a clothes shop, got him a nice suit, shirt, tie, shoes. And then on the following Sunday, he still didn't show up. So the minister visited him. And again, he asked, why don't you come? Why didn't you come? He said, well, when I got dressed up in my new suit, I looked so good, I decided to go to the Anglican church. This morning's sermon is entitled, What Shall I Wear for Church? What shall I wear for church? And as we've already had the Bible readings, which really are the punchline for this morning, you can see that it's not your clothes that's the issue, the outer clothing. It's what Paul speaks of in those letters to the Romans and Colossians about what we should clothe ourselves with or clothe ourselves in. His chief concern is the inward attire, not the external. He likens coming to faith in Jesus Christ to gaining a new wardrobe of clothes. That'd be nice, wouldn't it? Imagine going home now and there's a new wardrobe and there it is full of clothes for you to wear in the days to come. You've just got to put off the old ones. You've just got to get rid of the old and put on the new. Clothe yourself with the Lord Jesus Christ. Just think about that. That's an unusual phrase, isn't it? You don't clothe yourself with the Lord Jesus Christ. You don't clothe yourself with other people. It's clothes. But what is Paul really saying here? Well, we need to just step back a moment and think, what do clothes do? Okay? What do clothes do? Three things. They cover our modesty, don't they? They take away any shame and embarrassment. Okay. We clothe ourselves. We wouldn't want to be unclothed. And they talk about public speaking, and they sometimes say if the speaker gets overcome by the situation, think of your audience with no clothes on. That's not a very good... I don't see if that helps particularly, but that's what they say. But clothes cover our modesty. Clothes also give protection. They keep us warm, don't they? It may be September, or we've had the summer, most of it anyway. But our clothes, we clothe ourselves because it gives warmth to our bodies. We'd soon be snivelling and sneezing and probably die of pneumonia without them. Clothes as well give identity, don't they? Clothes give identity. You can pick somebody out if it's a policeman in a uniform or a nurse or a dog collar on a vicar. You can see who they are by what they wear. And it can give reassurance to others. You know, somebody with a jacket that says steward upon it. You know, written on the back, a high vis. You know, you think, oh, okay, they're part of the setup here. They know, they're showing me, they know what they're doing. Well, when we put our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and we seek to live for him, the same can be seen as what our earthly clothes do. And I just want to go through those three things I've just said, those three points, and open them out in regard to being clothed with the Lord Jesus Christ. First of all, clothed with Christ, shame and embarrassment are removed. From the beginning, as sin entered this perfect world that God had made, man became aware of his need to cover up. Well, we make all sorts of jokes about fig leaves and everything else, but that's what the scriptures speak of. Straight away, Adam and Eve, having sinned, suddenly became aware that they were naked, and they looked for some way of covering up. But as you read on, you see that God, in his mercy, provided the first clothes. Animal skins, it says in Genesis chapter 3, verse 21, were provided. The Lord enabled from his creation, from a sacrifice that was offered in the garden, the clothing of his creation, his people, Adam and Eve. They tried to cover up themselves, but God provided a permanent cover for them. Here is a reminder that man cannot cover up sin by himself. Our righteous acts, says the Bible, are like filthy rags. They're worse than fig leaves falling apart. We can't cover up by natural means. It had to be divine intervention. God provided through the sacrifice that he made in giving us his Son as a sacrifice for sin. This is the only way the shame of sin can be removed. It's always there. In the backs of our minds, if not at the front of our minds, but it's there. It's in our world. All around us. But through the Lord Jesus Christ, through his precious blood, which we will remember as we come to the table later, we are cleansed. Through that provision, we can boldly come to our Heavenly Father this morning. No condemnation, no embarrassment, no hiding, but an openness. For he has provided a covering for us. He has provided his Son as that sacrifice. We come forgiven, we come loved, we come accepted this morning. As the Father loves the Son, so he loves those who come to him clothed with Christ. He looks upon us and sees his Son and loves us just as much perfectly as he loves his Son. No shame, no embarrassment if you're clothed with Christ. Sadly, so many are not clothed with Christ. So many try and clothe themselves with all sorts of things that they put together, DIY clothes that they try and use and wear. But God has provided through his Son all that we need. Never forget that. And take that to heart. Take that for yourself. No shame, no embarrassment before God. You can come boldly, confidently, and openly in Jesus' name. Secondly, clothed with Christ, there's a warmth among the body parts. A few weeks ago, it was in the summer now, wasn't it, in the school, as the school holidays began, we were talking about the church. What is a church? The church is people, not buildings. The church is a body functioning together, in coordination together. Bodies are clothed. The church, as a body, needs to be clothed with Christ. That there's a warmth amongst the body of Christ. In the world, it's a cold, harsh place, generally out there. People do get together. Hearts are moved when there's tragedy and need. It's not totally without provision in that sense. God's grace is outside this building as well. But within the church, amongst those who believe, there's a special warmth. There's a special link, a fellowship together. Clothed with Christ, the body parts are warm. But what does this look like in practice? Well, I read Colossians 3 to try and throw a bit of light on that. Colossians 3 gives a five-fold description of our clothes. Clothe yourself with compassion. Clothe yourself with kindness, humility, gentleness, patience. These are the outfits in our wardrobe. These are the things that are to be seen amongst us. Yeah, not just amongst us, but seen in the world as well. But let's start with us in the body of Christ. These are the clothes we put on. Clothed with Christ. For my Saviour and your Saviour is a Saviour of compassion, isn't he? Again and again, as you read through the Gospels, he's reaching out, helping others in their needs. In Mark chapter 1, Jesus reaches out to a leper. Everybody else would run away from a leper. They would hear them coming and they would clear out for fear of contamination. But Jesus was willing and able to help the leper who called out to him. The kindness of our Saviour, again, is on every page. Even when there were those who were ungrateful, he was still kind to them. There was an occasion where 10 lepers came to him, and all of them were healed, but only one came back to say thank you. But the other 9... still received that act of kindness. It wasn't a case of, well, you jump through certain hoops, you tick certain boxes, and then I'll be kind to you. Then you've earned some sort of compassion. No, compassion and kindness reach to the very depths, knowing that sometimes people will take advantage of it. And what of humility? Clothe yourself with humility, because Christ personifies humility, doesn't he? He washed his disciples' feet. And on that one occasion, it was almost as though he was kind of a microcosm of his whole ministry, because he took off a towel. Like he'd come from heaven, he took off and became what he became on earth. And he took their feet and he washed their feet. And he came into our world and ministered in the dry, dirty, dusty world that we live in. He who by very nature was divine became a servant, humbled himself even to death on a cross. There's no greater demonstration and example of humility on this planet than our Saviour. And Paul simply says, clothe yourself with Christ. Clothe yourself with that humility, that kindness, and that compassion. And what of his gentleness? There were times when he had to speak words of, harshness, words of judgment, words of, this is not right. But there were other occasions. I think of one on the Mount of Transfiguration. Peter, James, and John had just seen something extraordinary. Moses, Elijah, and Jesus himself transfigured in a wonderful way. And then what does it say? It doesn't say Jesus full of himself and full of his glory. No, it says Jesus said to them, get up, don't be afraid. Get up, don't be afraid. What gentle words to speak from one who is so great, so mighty, so powerful. And he didn't just do it there, again and again. He was reaching out in gentleness and in love. Well, you know as well as I do, we live in a very harsh world, a brutal world at times. But as church, we need to be clothed with Christ and his gentleness. Oh, and patience. Clothe yourself with patience. I don't know about you, but I need a full wardrobe of patience. I need it every day, because I find my patience, even when I try and clothe myself in Christ with it, runs very thin. You know, you can get some materials that seem to last forever, and others that just, you know, oh, it's warm through. Patience is a bit like that, but love is patience. And even though Peter was making big comments, big bravado comments, I'll never forsake you, Jesus, I'll never let you down, I'm willing to die with you, whatever, Jesus knew, said to him, when the cock crows, you're going to deny me three times. And how patient was Jesus with those disciples? And how patient is Jesus with you and me? Clothed with Christ, there's warmth amongst the body parts. Well, let's think about this for ourselves here. There is compassion in our fellowship and kindness. There is humility. There are those doing jobs that nobody knows about. Gentleness and patience. It's an ongoing work, isn't it? Church is never finished this side of glory. It's an ongoing work. Clothed with Christ. It does go on to say in Colossians 3 of two other things as well that are in our wardrobe. Forgiveness and love. It's a perfect seven with the other five. Forgiveness and love. You know as well as I do, it's not always seen in church. Sometimes church can be cold. It cannot be a warm place. It cannot be the place, it's not the place it should be at times. But this is what we have to offer to the world. Lives clothed with Christ. I don't know what you think about all this to do with Princess Diana, we've got a Lady Diana, 20 years on, and the nation's response. People were moved, weren't they? People are still moved. I tinker from one camp to the other. I see it and I think, oh, this is so sad. This is almost idolatrous. I see that and I think, oh, come on, people. You know, yes, you're just a person, a human. But then I look at it the other way and I see people who admire that because that's what our world needs. Needs more people to be hands-on with love and compassion and care. Really, I'm certainly not saying Princess Diana filled the gap that was in our world. No, Jesus Christ alone fills that. But what people are longing for is something better than they know. And they can't find it anywhere else because it's only found in Christ. It's only found as we are clothed with Christ. That warmth amongst our fellowship is what we need to be taking out to those around us in our community as well. There is a longing for it, a desire for real compassion, real kindness and gentleness and love. That which the Lord Jesus has shown and has shared and has given his Spirit to us. Because when you think about it, these are fruits of the Spirit, aren't they? These are parts of the Spirit's, Holy Spirit's work. When we talk about the fruit of the Spirit, we're talking about an inner working in our hearts and lives. When Paul speaks of clothing, he's speaking of the outward from the inward. What's inside being worked out and seen in our lives. Clothed with Christ, there is no shame before God. Clothed with Christ, there is a warmth amongst us. But clothed with Christ as well, there is protection from the enemy's attacks. I don't know if you noticed as I read from Romans, we are to put on armour, not pyjamas. Did you get that? He says, wake up from your slumber. Put on the armour of light. Elsewhere we could have read from Ephesians, couldn't we? The armour of God. We're in a battle. Put off and aside the deeds of darkness. Put on the armour of light. Because this life of Christ in us will be challenged, is challenged in the world. It's a battle. It's a struggle. The enemy is not happy to see us go from this place wanting to live for Jesus, wanting to live his way, wanting to put these qualities into action in our daily lives. Put on the armor of light, the armor of God. And live for Jesus. Because clothed with Christ, there is a visibility to help and reassure others. I mentioned before, you see people working, don't you, in high-vis jackets. You just see them and you just think, okay, they're on official business doing what they're doing there. They stand out. You can see them. I'm reminded of a story again I heard. I don't know how true this story is. I think it may have been added to a little bit, but I'll try not to exaggerate too much. But in Canada, if you join the police force in Canada, one of the questions on the exam paper described a scenario in a city centre that was going on. A car was out of control and had mounted up on the pavement, and there were injuries. As well as that, there was a robbery going on of a bank across the road. And a few other bits and pieces, it was all happening, it was all going on there in the square in the city centre. And the question basically was a question asking, what would you do first? And some wag just put there, I'd go to the nearest place to hide, take off my uniform and return to civilian dress. That is the easy answer when everything's going wrong around us. It's so easy to have our Sunday best, isn't it? Clothes that we are never seen wearing the rest of the week. We don't want to be like that as a church. We want the inward clothing of Christ. And we want it to be seen, not for our glory and splendor, but for Jesus and his glory. Every moment and in every situation. But that's challenging. If you want that, that's challenging. It is much, much easier to hide away for the week in civilian clothing, take the uniform off. Because you'll meet situations that need compassion and kindness. And by definition, they will take up time and resources. They're not easy, are they, when there's a situation that needs the input of compassion and kindness. Or perhaps it's some menial task and it will need humility. And gentleness will be required. And patience, oh patience, will be needed. But these are the things that the Apostle Paul says to us as church that we can know and we can wear, clothed with Christ. So this morning, as our time is hurrying away, let me simply ask, are you clothed with Christ? Are you a believer? Have you put your faith and trust in him? Are you still trying to cover up your sin and your shame your own way? Don't do that. You can't do that. The clothes are there for you. But as the scripture says, clothe yourself with the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm giving my age away a little bit here, but I used to watch the children's cartoon as I was growing up, Mr. Ben. Was there ever a better cartoon than Mr. Ben? If you don't know the story of Mr. Ben, he had a bowler hat and a suit, and he used to walk into a shop, and magically the shopkeeper appeared. That was always part of the script. And then he would choose an outfit for the day. You remember it? And he never took his clothes off. I suppose that's probably a good thing for a children's cartoon. And suddenly, he was a Red Indian. His clothes just came on him. They just dropped from nowhere. It was cheap cartoon making, presumably. You know, just or whatever he wanted to be, he became. Magically, the shopkeeper appeared. Magically, he was clothed. Magically, off he went and had his adventure. I'm afraid it doesn't work like that in our faith to be a Christian. Clothe yourselves. Paul stresses again and again, put off, put off, put off, and then put on, put on, put on. You have to make the decision yourself. An act of your will, an act of your heart before the Lord, an act of faith. Put on the armor of God for the battle that we face. Put on the armor of light. Clothe yourselves. Yes, God is the outfitter, don't get me wrong. But we have to come to him. We have to seek what we need for the day. To be dressed for action. To be dressed for battle. To be dressed to bless others. To be dressed as a witness to the world. You know, some people are much more outgoing than others, more flamboyant, perhaps, in their dress. But when it comes to these qualities, it doesn't matter what your personality is. It doesn't matter how well you've done or not done in the past. It's now, isn't it? It's now, this day, this moment. Lord, clothe me with all these things. Clothe me with yourself, that you might be seen in my life. In me. I mentioned about Princess Diana and stirring up the emotions of how people felt. Over the last 20 years, arguably, the world's got colder and harder, more difficult. Yet compassion and kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, forgiveness, love are longed for and needed more than ever. For some, perhaps, they look and go, that's old. Old. 1970s, 1980s, 60s, summer of love. Unfashionable. Like flared trousers. But this fashion doesn't go out of date. To put on Christ, the early church did it, every generation since has done it. And we are to do it too. What shall I wear for church? Well, I don't mind if you come in t-shirts and shorts. Just come this way internally. Just come with kindness and compassion. Just come with humility. Come with gentleness. Come with patience. And don't just come with it. Go with it to the world. Wear it well and wear it with style. We're going to sing a hymn in a moment which has these words. Let holy charity mine outward vesture be, and lowliness become my inner clothing. True lowliness of heart, which takes the humbler part, and o'er its own shortcomings weeps with loathing. Yes, it's one of those old hymns. But really what it says is, Holy Spirit, help me. Help me to live clothed with Christ. Help me to live for Jesus. Turn to it, it's number 89. Number 89, come down, O love divine. Let's stand and sing and ask for God's Spirit's help. It's one thing to know about the wardrobe of clothes, but we need his help to put them on and to wear them and to wear them well. Hymn 89.